Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
Hello, and good morning. Crazy kind of day. Nice and sunny. I like it that way. We got a great guest today. Turns out everyone I know knows this woman. 6 degrees of separation. Her name is Jennifer Bell. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Her new book, The 7-Year Bitch. Totally delightful. And we're going to be talking to her today. And let me see if she's online. Are you there, Jen?
Hi, Nancy. It's so great to be here.
Oh, good. I couldn't tell you were so good about being quiet.
Well, I'm trying to be professional.
Whoops, hold on. There's like a bunch of stuff going on my computer right now.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on. Let me just clear it up and get my chat.
I just noticed that I spelled my son's name wrong on my Facebook page.
Oh, no.
So
well, what is his name?
His name is Jasper, but I spelled it Japser.
Japser? Forever to be labeled now? Is this going to be a... we know a lot of the same people, as it turns out, because I happened to send out an email this morning, and it turns out you went to college with Eric Vedder.
Oh, yes, I did.
Yes, Eric is a very good friend of mine. I perform in a lot of his shows, No Name in a Bag of Chips.
He's a fantastic guy, and I even performed with him years and years and years ago, like maybe 20 years ago.
20? No way. You're too young. I'm not going to believe that. You've done so much, Jennifer. I love your new book.
Thank you.
About it right now. I was so feeling everything.
That's
I was going,
great.
Yeah.
I've always taken a long time to write my books. This is my fourth novel, and all of my other three took 4 years to write and then a year to come out in print. And this
four
one
years?
I wrote...
Wait a minute. Back up. 4 years, Jennifer, for each book?
Yeah, four years, 5 years in total for the whole publication process.
For one
and
book?
For one book. That's not long. Some people work 20 years on a book.
Wow. That's something. That's amazing. And 4 years. And so, but your first book, was that which in the order? I know you did, is it High Maintenance, Little Stalker Going Down?
Going Down was first. Was my first book, and it was published in 1996 when I was 27.
And in 96 was named, Going Down was named Best Summer Novel by Time Out in New York.
It was named Best Summer Novel by Time Out in New York and Best Novel, Best Debut Novel of the Year by Entertainment Weekly.
Wow, not a bad start for a, you started out as an actress, didn't you?
I did from, in the first place, but it took me a while to come to it.
So you like the control of just that, having a 3-minute audition, you were in control.
I just wanted to do something real and authentic and alive. And, you know, it's like I also did stand-up for a very, very short time, very, very short. And when I went up on stage, I thought I was going to be Lenny Bruce. You know, I thought I was just going to tear it up. And instead, I was just myself, almost a watered-down version of myself. This particular book, The 7-Year Bitch, is, I don't know, 5% autobiographical, and the others aren't.
And the others aren't. Okay.
Yeah, aren't as much. I mean, I always draw from my real experience, but this one is just me and my husband, and it's a shame because he would have loved to have called in and told the world what a bitch I am, but he's a lawyer. He's in court right now, but if he gets out, he'll call in and we'll have a huge fight or something.
Well, that's interesting that you say that because I'm a comedian, and as a writer, I definitely write in the voices of the person.
Mm-hmm.
So you become the people you're writing about.
Yeah, of course, you put all of yourself into them.
Well, I can see why you enjoyed acting then, because that is interesting that you put yourself into each character. Interesting. That's
mm-hmm.
interesting now because now I'm thinking of the. The name of the character who plays your friend in the book.
Joy.
And you put yourself, that's interesting. Now the book takes on a different meaning for me now.
I think acting is a really good launching place for writing. You know, I work with a lot of writers. I teach writing, and
Where do you teach writing, by the way?
I teach writing now. I have 3 workshops a week in my apartment, and I teach at the JCC, which is on the Upper West Side in Manhattan. And I've taught at Manhattan Marymount and at the New School and other places. And I've had a lot of writers work with me who were formerly actors, and I think it's a very good foundation because you learn about scene study really helps you learn about, obviously, dialogue and action and obstacles and objectives and all the things you talk about in acting class.
I could see that, and your character Joy, when you were writing that, I could almost hear her thinking. If you know
what
I'm saying.
So that's interesting, Nancy. You relate to the character of Joy, who leaves her husband and has it
going on in the context of the story. What if? What if? What if?
Mm-hmm.
And the possibilities are there, and even the flirting is there, and the possibilities. I really relate to the book.
Flirting is the only thing a married person has left. You know, that's like
I'm on the prior softball team.
Oh, okay.
So play softball, which, by the way, you will have a book signing at the Friars Club this Monday.
I cannot believe this is happening, but I
very
am
exciting.
Having a book
passion there. Oh, Betty Jo Tucker, by the way, her radio show is Movie Addict Headquarters, and it's a great show. They had a great anniversary show the other day. It was a lot of fun. And I won a book.
Oh, that's great.
So, but Betty Jo Tucker is one of our fans. She's listening in. Yes, Boston, I see you there too. So, did you find a passage?
Yes, I can read something.
All right, great.
Whenever I thought about death, I always thought about the Grim Reaper. I thought about the Grim Reaper a lot, actually. Black cloak, curved scythe, the whole 9 yards. And whenever I thought about the Grim Reaper, for some inexplicable reason, I thought about making love to him. It doesn't say making love, Nancy, but I changed it.
Okay, that's
for the radio.
Fine. Okay, thank you.
In a certain way, it would be like making love to a cartoon character. I thought about the Grim Reaper like some men thought about Jessica Rabbit. I suppose Jessica Rabbit symbolized physical perfection that no real-life woman could come close to, but the Grim Reaper symbolized a kind of perfection, too. Death was my idea of the most romantic love. He came to you, he chose you, and no matter what the circumstances, you had to go with him, like being pulled down a wedding aisle on a black conveyor belt. There was no fighting him. It was what I always thought love would be. A man would know I was the one and prove it to me until I had no choice but to love him back. He would make love to me from behind on the way to wherever it was he was taking me, and I would grab him to see what he really had under his cloak.
Wow.
That's just one of my thoughts about death.
Oh, you'll like this. Maybe you have people do it at movie theaters. It's called, is it astroturfing, the right term?
I don't know. I never...
I think it's called astroturfing or
name for it.
That's where you place people all over the city reading your book?
Yeah, I held an audition, and I...
You auditioned 100 people, right?
And I interviewed 150 beautiful girls, and... I hired them to read my book on the subway and other New York City landmarks, like the steps of the Met. So I had always had this idea because I had read that in China and Israel and in certain countries, people hire people to be professional funeral wailers. So if your mother dies and you put on a funeral, it's just not a good funeral unless you have 20 people in the back hysterically sobbing.
Which,
and,
by the way, Jennifer, I don't know if you know this from literature, goes back to Dickens' time.
Exactly.
Believe,
no, it goes back centuries, yes.
That wasn't, was it David Copperfield or, no, I'm trying to think of the other story. The one of them, well, he was a professional mourner. He worked for the, was it David Copperfield? One of the orphans. Everybody was orphaned in Dickens. Anyway, he was a professional mourner. That's what he did. And he lived in the... He lived in the funeral shop.
Yes. So
I know what it is.
So I thought,
Oliver. It was Oliver. Oliver Twist.
Oliver Twist. So that's where I originally got the idea that I would have people read my book on the subway and laugh.
Oh, that's, well, you know, there was a young man, but you took charge, and that's great about branding. Do you know where, I'm sure you might, in your book, there's a passage that has to do with the car. I love that one.
Sure, yeah. When he, well,
yes,
because,
yeah, don't
because
say
this, is a real life incident. My husband ran me over with the car.
Okay, could you, if you could find that, I'd love to have that on the show.
Oh, okay, that would take me a while to find, but I will try.
Oh, all right.
Should I read, I can read this, should I read the sex scene?
Sure, why not?
Okay, I walk over to it with him and stand in front of it. You'll never guess what I heard about the new woman in 3E, he began. It was the first time someone other than Duncan had made me laugh in a long time. That night we lay in bed talking about the water cooler. It's saving us money, he said. I mean, we were spending at least $4 a day on water, probably more. Now it's less than a dollar a day. And it looks better than I thought it would, I said. I'm already used to it. And I already feel we're healthier, he said. I drank water tonight instead of beer. I drank more water tonight. Not 3 minutes, Russell said. You said you'd be quick. We argued about it for a while, and in the end I agreed to hike the nightgown all the way up around my neck in a big bunch like an Elizabethan collar. He climbed on top of me, and I helped guide him into me like an air traffic controller with one hand while holding our dog by the collar with the other. I couldn't remember the last time I'd had sex without holding onto my dog's collar and usually reassuring him and even kissing him the whole time. We'd thrown out his crate when Duncan was born to make room for a glider, and we couldn't lock him out of our room because the doorknob was broken. And I've been on tour a little bit around the country, and I have a big reading in Brooklyn at Greenlight Bookstore, which is in Fort Greene, Brooklyn, on July 6th, and I think it'll be a really good one. I hope people
now
show up.
Are you going to be in No Name and a Bag of Chips? I know they have shows July 9th, 16th, and 23rd at Otto's Shrunken Head and Tiki Bar, but he mentioned that you do readings sometimes?
I don't know, but I definitely want to go and watch.
Oh, I think he's going to invite you to a reading. Oops, it's out
well,
of
then
the bag.
I will. And my nanny didn't show up today, and I just stood in my lobby and begged people to come up and take care of the little one while I did this radio show. And somebody came, and I don't know who she is, but she's in my living room right now.
Oh, gosh, that is too funny.
I know. I haven't heard anything from down there in a long time, so I hope everything's okay.
How old are your children?
2.5 and 5.5.
2.5. So that's a little bit like in the book, then.
It's a little bit like in the book, yeah.
Art imitating life.
Mm-hmm.
And where do you, now it's
much harder to get foreign sales. It's much harder to do everything now, of course. But now with Amazon, people can just order it in the original language right away.
So they can order any of their books. Now, you don't have to read your books in order, right? Am I correct, Jennifer?
No, they're not. They're all totally different.
They're all separate books.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting. So in 96, this is when you started.
Mm-hmm. My first book, Going Down, is about a girl who becomes a hooker to put herself through NYU. And my second book, High Maintenance, is about real estate. It's about a woman who leaves her her husband and her very gorgeous New York City apartment and quickly discovers that she misses her apartment a lot more than she misses her husband and becomes
back.
A broker, yeah, to get her apartment back. And then the third book is called Little Stalker, and it's about a 33-year-old one-time successful writer who's very blocked, and she's obsessed with the famous filmmaker who's very much like an Arthur, like a Woody Allen type. And she starts writing him letters pretending to be a 13-year-old girl to get his attention and falls in love with a paparazzo and all that stuff. And then this one, The 7-Year Bitch, is about the fact that I think that if you are married and you have a kid, you're a bitch, and it's not your fault. you are turned into a bitch. I know perfectly nice women who just become policemen, shrews, nags, bitches. They you can't help yourself. I used to be very nice.
Well, once your children are older, it'll come back to you.
How do you know? I mean, maybe I'm ruined.
Well, I have a teen. I know the feeling. I think where I felt a lot of connection to was I know when I was writing for a TV show when I gave birth to my son, and I know that and then I went back to work 2 weeks later, and I came home and after the show ended and I started to be, you know, more of an at-home mom and, you know, make sure I got to the park, took him to here, took him to there, I realized after a while there's a sort of an isolation that you just can't explain.
Mm-hmm.
When you realize, oh, my gosh, I haven't seen another adult. I haven't talked then. Who am I? Who is this person?
I know.
you know, you do lose, like, because you become another person, a new identity, and you, in your book, you share a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that you share a lot of that angst and that, you know, who do you become? Who am I now? Because you are a mother, and you're constantly worried about everybody else but yourself. You're now second place.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you get up in the morning and say, what am I going to do for me? You get up in the morning going, was that the baby? Did he just cry? Did he cough? Maybe
no, I just took my kids to the beach over the weekend, and I had to get change of clothes and diapers and wipes and suits and suntan lotion and toys for my two children and my husband. I had to, of course, get his suit and his change of clothes. And then we go to the beach, and I realize I didn't even bring earth-shattering story and a plot with twists and turns, and you really, really don't. I mean, you can just...
Well, what advice? I mean, okay, what advice would you give? I have a friend, a comedian friend, very funny lady named Michelle Ballin.
Is that really her name, or is her name
Nancy
Lombardo?
That's her real name. No, not me.
This friend.
Oh, no, I want to write a book. Oh, forget about it. No, but she's always talking about... She needs to write a book. She needs to, and she's a very funny lady. What advice
did the cement and everything I needed to build a house? I would have no idea how to do it. You know, I would have no idea how to build a house. And that's how I felt when I started to write a novel. But now I really know how to write a novel, and these little tiny scenes that I suggest people start with are sort of like the bricks, and you gather those bricks slowly over years sometimes.
So what do you say? You're doing notes first?
No, you're not doing notes. You're just you're picking.
Oh, I like this, Jennifer. Just jump in. You're my kind of writer.
Yes, you that's exactly what you do. You jump in because I always tell writers to be very intimate with the reader. So to just assume that the reader knows stuff. Just assume that the reader, you know, not to worry about what about the beginning of the book or introducing the characters. Just jump in and assume that the reader already knows you, and then you'll go back and introduce yourself later.
Yeah, that's you are writing from an improvisational standpoint.
Absolutely. I mean, in writing you call it exploratory.
I like that idea. I think myself, I mean, I write comedy. I haven't written a book yet, but I will. Is that I get so caught up in all the technology. What do you what's another word for it? In all the formatting.
Uh-huh.
You know, you have to write a outline first, and you have to write a. Well, I just like to start and just start writing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everybody gets caught up that way. I hear that from people all the time that they think they have to start from the beginning, or they think they have to have a lot of the listeners right now who would love to write a book. I would love to write a book too. And if I sat down today, and I wrote an outline for whatever this book is. It wouldn't be very authentic because I don't know what the book is yet.
You let the book happen. So when you do it, do you do a chapter at a time, then put them together? Or?
No, there's no. How can I know what the chapters are until I understand how the book is going to take shape? I mean, chapters come in all shapes and sizes. So I just work the unit I work in is the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, so I write my books like movies. Like, just think in terms of scenes. I mean, people have different approaches. Like, I listened to an interview with Paul Simon, who's a great songwriter, and he said that when he sits down to write a song, he always starts with a fact. Like, there's a wall in China; it's 1,000 miles long. He just starts with a fact.
Interesting.
And I start with a scene. Pretend you're your own audience and ask yourself. Can I have an activity? Can I have and I really do that because I stay very open. I mean, I go to my computer in sort of an open-minded, open-hearted kind of way, and I just see what comes to me. And then in the end, of course, there's a lot of crafting and changing and editing involved, and then it's not so improvisational or exploratory. Then it becomes much more concrete.
And how important is your editor to you?
Well, that's sort of a touchy subject.
Uh-oh.
The editor should be very, very important to you. And you know, the publishing business is
because
is
they do
changing.
Tend to change a lot, right?
Well, they there's just I don't know, the old-time editors were the writer's partner. They were brilliant and really helped you make a book, your book better and psychologically deeper. And now there's a lot of cloudiness because it's all about marketing and appealing to as many people as possible and selling books, because books are
expensive. It's a lot like the television industry. And I mean, well, because they're looking down the path to possible TV show, possible.
Right.
It's a lot like writing for television.
Yeah.
And it's a lot like writing anything for a private vector, or in that they'll go, you know, I love chihuahuas. Can you put a chihuahua in there?
Yeah.
You know, it becomes like, it has nothing to
But with writing, the author still has control over things like chihuahuas, but the publisher might say put a chihuahua in if they feel that the world loves chihuahuas.
Oof.
But, you know, the editor is very important, and this the publication of this particular book was a very rocky road, but even with all of that, my editor still did help me, and so did the other readers who helped me with my book, really did help me with my book. So, you know, it's also good if you can find a great workshop.
Now, do you have any what do you mean by a workshop where you bring with other writers?
A workshop.
Do you know of writers, Sam Barry and Kathy Kamen Goldmark, by any chance?
No, I don't.
They wrote a wonderful book called Write That Book Already.
Mm-hmm.
Tough Love, You Need to Get Published Now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very funny book because it's like what you're talking about, but two totally different approaches. I might have to take your workshop down the line.
I wish you would. You'd be great in it.
Oh, because it's very fascinating, your different approach that you have to it. You really just, and I like that.
Yeah, I would change their book to Start Your Novel Now and Write It Slowly and with True Authenticity and bring everything you have to it. And
that's going
to
be a long,
don't worry about
very
getting
big
published.
Book cover.
Yeah. I'm not good at titles.
Not good at titles, a seven-year bitch.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think the titles of your books are good. Little Stalker, High Maintenance, Going Down.
Thank you.
Influences? Would you say influences? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in New York. I grew up on the Upper West Side and on McDougal Street and at the end of my childhood in Tribeca before there was a supermarket. And, I'm a New York City kid.
Oh, yeah.
And tonight, as a matter of fact, you know, I realize that I've, I'm a native New Yorker. I'm about as New York as you can possibly get. But I realize that today I will finally become a real New Yorker because I'm going to go to Rayo's.
Oh, what day of the week is it? I'm trying to think. Oh, Friday. You're going to Rayo's. That's great. I have, I actually know someone who sings there. I don't know if she'll be there tonight, but she's a Friar.
Sings. I didn't even know they had singing there.
Renee Strober. She's a Broadway singer.
Wow.
And some nights she sings there. Sometimes
that's
Clinton goes there. You don't know who you're going to see tonight at Rayo's.
I know. I really hope I see Woody Allen. I'm totally expecting to see Woody Allen.
The book that Sam Barry is the brother of Dave Barry. Thank you, one of my callers just went in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and they also have something. Have you heard of author enablers? Because that sounds like what you do with your workshop.
Is that like an agent you have to pay an extra?
No, you just go there if you're having problems. I think it's just like a chat room or something you go to. It's called
It's
redroom.com called Arthur Enablers.
Oh, that's great.
I just met Kathy, actually. She just flew in. But I'm meeting all these great writers. What?
Yeah, it's still, you know, I mean, all my, and HBO.
They would pay you five, you know, I'm not going to say the amount, but they pay you a certain amount every time you get optioned, right?
They do. And HBO optioned High Maintenance, and then Fox optioned it. I mean, so I've been through this, and so I don't get too excited. But I secretly am excited, but I'm not popping my popcorn yet, you know?
That's the actor in you, you know, as I tell my husband. He goes, well, that's great news, isn't it? It's great news when I cash the check.
Yeah.
I don't have the job yet. They could say you're right. I've learned to say.
And even if you get the job, you don't have the check yet.
How did you ever get a reservation tonight? That place is impossible.
My wonderful friend Donna Brody, who's an incredible writer and the head of the Writer's Room, which is a place where I write, her family has had a table since the 40s.
It's that old?
Yes, yes, it is.
Oh,
and
gosh.
She invited me, and it's been, you know, I've just always wanted to go there my whole life, and I'm very, very excited. I almost wish it wasn't tonight. I wish it was like 5 years from now so I could keep looking forward to it.
Oh, because anticipation?
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be some month for you because you have got the Friars book warming.
The Friars is also a complete dream. I mean, I cannot believe that there's going to be this party at the Friars Club. I'm totally excited.
It's a lot of fun.
I can't wait to clink champagne glasses with you there.
Yes, and actually we have a softball game today in the park, so we'll be playing out there in the park. And let me see a little bit more. Do you have another passage you'd like to read and share with us?
I will take a look.
Here's a good
one.
Summer reading. I got to say, I read it in one day. I was outside. I went outside, and I came back, and I was like, I went to do something else, and I was almost done. I got to finish this. I got to know how it ends.
That's so nice, Nancy. Thank you so much.
Okay, go ahead.
A woman on the subway thought I molested her, Russell said, coming in the door the next day. He set down the day's mail without looking at it. What? I said. After 7 years of marriage, if Russell did something wrong, I got the sinking feeling that I had done it too. I suddenly felt as if I had molested a woman on the subway. What new aggressive act was this? I was sure it was a beautiful black girl he had done it to. He'd always had a thing for black girls. I was reaching my arm out to grab the pole, and my arm brushed against her tits, and I said, sorry, and she said, don't let it happen again. And I said, this got a lot of cursing in it, Nancy. You've got
to
be kidding me.
Blank.
I said, don't flatter yourself, and everyone around me laughed. I felt really good. Enough already. Everyone practically applauded. I was like a hero. Russell seemed genuinely proud of himself. It's always the ugliest girls on the subway who think you're trying to feel them up. Ooh, he shuddered dramatically. Disgusting. Well, I'm sorry the woman you molested wasn't more attractive, but I'm glad you had a good day, I said. I tried to remind myself not to compare him to other women's husbands. I just have to be happy with mine's big achievement, getting away with molesting a woman on the subway. Maybe it didn't exactly put money in our pocket or was as wholesome as a hobby as golf, but it made him happy and that was what counted. Why is Daddy a hero, Mommy? Duncan asked. I paused for a moment because he molested a woman on the subway. It didn't seem like the right thing to say, even if it was the true thing. Did you save someone? Duncan asked. Yes, I did, Russell said. I saved all the men on the subway from a very mean woman. You mean like a witch or something? That's right, Russell said. As Duncan reenacted his own version of the story, proudly playing his father, I remembered that I used to have a vision for myself. I used to be able to see myself with a girl and a boy and a handsome husband, his briefcase lined up neatly next to mine by the front door, ready to grab on our way to our jobs as managing directors at our prospective firms. Then my mother had explained to me, incorrectly, I believe, about what her shrink had said about magical thinking. According to her shrink, you couldn't wish something to happen. And I think that was the moment that I had stopped wishing, even though I had been wishing for so long I didn't even know I was doing it, like stretching my legs when I brushed my teeth in the morning. I started to slowly panic, trying to wish for something again. I felt time ticking, my birthday candle burning down. I thought of the dead... Oh, this is not going to make sense. Is this a treasure? Duncan asked his father, holding up an old bent straw that he found that he'd folded into his pirate chest. It is if you want it to be, Russell said. It might not be a treasure to another pirate, but if it's important to you, then it is a treasure. We treasure what we care about most. This is my treasure, Duncan said, putting his arm around Reese. You and Mommy and Reese are my treasures. You and Mommy and Reese are my treasures, too, Russell said. So,
aww.
It's I hadn't prepared to read particular little passages when I know.
Sorry to get you off guard. I just wanted.
No.
I'm so happy.
To let me do it.
That one is. I think really sums up a lot about the book.
Mm-hmm.
That passage there.
Well, in the book, there's two characters who go different ways. One chooses to leave her husband, and my character hangs on. A lot having to do with having a surprise pregnancy in the middle of the book. And in the end, my character understands that she's satisfied with her life and that she really has everything she needs. So as bitchy a book as it really is, it's also very much about marriage.
You think it's bitchy? I don't think it's bitchy. I think, as I wrote in my review, it's bitchin'.
That's great. But there are really strong fights with the husband.
Well,
I mean, it gets very real.
I got to say that I think a lot of married women will relate to this book in just the you bring up a lot of things that we think but don't say.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you bring up a lot of the part where he ran over you with the car. It's just like, if you were married long enough, your husband will at one time or another almost kill you. I am convinced.
There yeah, he some, almost killed me. And then, the other thing,
too, that will almost kill you.
The comments I'm getting.
Fire, you know, something.
The comments I'm getting from women most who are writing to me from all over the country are saying that they relate to the part where when her husband goes on an airplane, she has this sort of secret fantasy that the plane will crash.
Oh,
and
that
I
was
would never
weird.
Think,
I was like listening to that. I mean, reading it, and I was going, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, I would never think anybody in the world
yes, you were planning
that,
the Shiva, I believed.
Yeah.
And who you would order from. Oh, I wonder if they're still open. I remember
yeah.
I read the book.
You really did.
Yeah. So, there's the Second Avenue Deli is closed, but I think they still have it. They have a new location. And but
yeah.
That was also, but that's what I'm saying. I think a lot of your thoughts there are a lot that a lot of people can relate to, whether you're married or not, or even just in a relationship.
Well, I think that marriage with children is really hard, and people never talk about it. They put this glossy view on it, and I think it's one of the reasons why all those housewives shows are so amazingly watchable.
Oh, you mean the
Real Housewives?
Real Housewives? Yeah, Real Housewives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I saw every episode of some of them, and I even met one on, I was doing background work on a film, and I met one of them because she started to talk about the film, and I said, that's the lady that came in and started yelling at me, and I started to say, I'm just an extra, I have no idea what's going on.
You have to have them on your show.
Oh, I don't know. They scare me. They like a little bit like all the bullies you ever knew from school.
Mm, yeah.
You know, especially like the Countess.
Mm-hmm.
And then who was, I get them all confused into one episode now because there were New Jersey, Atlanta, and New York.
Nobody
and
like the Countess ever went to my high school.
What?
I don't think anybody like the Countess was at my high school.
Oh.
Or I really would be scared.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, yeah, but it's interesting that those women, but I didn't think you betrayed your characters like those women so much.
No, not at all.
Now, is there a real handsome older guy?
Is he older?
Well, I don't know. You described him in your book as older.
Oh, I never thought of him. Well, he's definitely a composite of many crushes, many married lady crushes I have had.
Oh, okay.
Only in the book he has $200 million.
Oh, okay.
Which I don't think is I don't think anybody they have a lot, but not $200 million.
It's interesting in your book. How does your husband feel about it? Because the husband really got it in the book.
Well, my husband is kind of like a writing pimp. You know, as long as the book sells, he's delighted I wrote this book, but he was not happy when Publishers Weekly called the character of the husband a total putz.
Oh.
It was a very good review, but they said that the husband was a total putz. And he really took an issue with that. And we actually made 7 movie trailers for the book that you can see on YouTube or
yes.
on my Facebook
page. Where do they go on YouTube?
If you go to Jennifer Bell, The 7-Year Bitch, they come up eventually. There's 7 of them. And
well,
they're also on my Facebook. If you join
her.
Me on
go
Facebook.
To go to www.jenniferbell.com. But even if you Google Jennifer, you just Google her name, and it will come up somewhere on the page, the trailers.
Yeah, there's 7 of them, and it's my husband talking about the time when he hit me with the car and the time when he was called a putz in Entertainment Weekly in Publishers Weekly and on and on. And it's I think they're really funny. A filmmaker named Kim Kowalski made them. And I was really, really proud of them.
The man behind the putts.
Yeah, exactly.
that's so funny, the fact that he did back over you. I don't know. I've always said that to my husband, that you're going to kill me. You're going to kill me. You're going to kill me one day.
Yeah.
I know it. I used to kid him because when we were first married, he would put the pillow over my head while I was sleeping.
Oh, my God.
And I go, do you know you're putting a pillow over my head while I'm asleep? Because he would, I guess, turn over with the pillow. And I would wake up not breathing. And then finally he did it one time, and I hit him so hard he woke up. And I go, hey, you're trying to kill me in my sleep.
Oh, my God. Well, I tell my husband if anything ever was to happen to me, there are several documents that say that they should immediately investigate him.
Investigate him. Look at him as, you know, actually you've written it up as a treatment for Law and Order.
Yeah.
So now when are your next workshops going to happen?
They're ongoing. They last forever. There are people in my workshops who have been in them for more than 10 years.
Wow.
And there
and
are
have
people
books
who just started.
Come out of it? Have books?
Many books have come out of it. It's really great.
And you do the workshops in the city and sometimes
mm-hmm.
out of your home.
Mm-hmm.
And they're ongoing. And for information on, like, if someone was listening, they want to take the workshop, where were they? They go to
well,
your
the best thing,
www?
Yeah, the best thing to do is to contact me at my website. But I don't take a lot of new people. You know, they're small and they're very serious. But I will definitely talk to anybody about it who's interested and see if there's room. And there's also a class I teach at the JCC that starts in the fall. The JCC stands for Jewish Community Center.
Where
and
is that located?
That's an adult education. It's on 76th and Amsterdam, something like that.
76th
and
Amsterdam.
And that's maybe a better place to start with me because it's a little bit easier to jump in cold there.
Can I ask you something now, just because this is so interesting? I always find that, well, for the fact that you've had you're on your fourth hit book, and really what I would say is a short amount of time, not a long amount of time, because since 96, correct?
Yes, since 96. I mean, well, I think I'm not fast, but I have managed to stay with it.
But every book has gotten a great review.
Yes, every book has been
so,
well received, thank goodness. And I think I really try to make them something someone would want to read.
So many options. I mean, with television.
Yeah, a lot of options.
You've got to say that speaks well of your work in that, yeah, I mean, you just need the one person to follow through, but everyone knows that there's something there. Have you ever written for a TV or a stage?
I've just adapted my own stuff, and I did pitch one original show, half-hour comedy sitcom to Fox, and we went pretty far with it, and Bernadette Peters was interested in playing the lead, and then the writer's strike happened, and it went away, and it's just the same old story everybody
tells. No, now that
everybody
you say
tells.
That, you mentioned Bernadette Peters, I could see her as your character, too, in this book.
Well,
vehicle for her.
Yeah,
film.
The sitcom that I wrote that she was going to star in was about a sort of has-been Broadway star and her daughter, so she was going to play the mother and sing a song in every episode, and she would have been fantastic. I love her.
Oh, yeah, she's great. She's great. I could see it. I mean,
I love Susie Essman. I'd love to write for Susie Essman.
She's a friar.
I know she's a friar, but I don't know. I mean, I've never met her.
Oh, she's very nice. Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
She had a book out this year, too.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting life. It's very interesting. I'm going to have to maybe after the summer come and look into one of your classes and just.
I would love that, Nancy. I would absolutely love that.
I do a lot of comedy writing,
mm-hmm.
but the book is the next step for me.
Good.
Next step with that. Now, if you want to get in touch with Jennifer, go to www.jenniferbell.com. Her books are available in every major bookstore and online at Amazon. Jennifer, I think. I know you have to get back to the children. They got quiet all of a sudden. But
oh, my God, I don't know what's happening. I hope they're...
Is there anything you'd like to add? Because believe it or not, we've been on for almost an hour.
Well, I'd just like to say thank you so much for this. This was fantastic. It was so great to meet you the other day and to be on your show.
And I've planned so far on coming to your book signing.
I'm so happy
and
that
I'm
you're coming to that on Monday. And I'm having a reading in Brooklyn on July 6th. You can look it up on my...
Well, give the information. July 6th.
It's at the Greenpoint Bookstore, which is a fantastic independent bookstore. It's one of the last remaining and really worth supporting. And people are going to go out to dinner afterwards, and it's going to be a nice party. And I would also like to say that if anybody wants to invite me to their book group. If they want to read, pick my book for their book group, I would love to come and meet everybody and give out books and things like that.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So I'm here. I'm available. I love to talk, and I'm really excited about this book, and I really appreciate your having me on.
Oh, no problem. And this show will be archived. I have some, Betty Jo had to go. She's going to listen to the rest in archives. So
great.
People come back to the show and they listen to it. Everybody in the chat room, thank you. We have some quiet people in the chat room I see too, just with icons just popping up.
Great.
And thank everybody. And this will be archived. And I have to. I'm going to close and with. Let me see. What do I have here? I'm checking this out. A little dedication to motherhood.
Very nice.
Close with in honor of the 7-year bitch and Jennifer Bell. It's a great book, everyone. You're looking for that summer read. Go get this book. You're going to read it in a day. You're going to read it in the train on the way to the Hamptons because you're not going to be able to stop reading it. It's so much fun, and you're going to relate. And with that
in
mind,
up in the morning,
here we go. Thank you, Jennifer.
Well,
thanks, Nancy.
I tried to get some Z's, but the voices made me right. I need a cup of Java to jumpstart and feel pert. My boys can't see from my glazed eyes that I am not alert. Everything I tell you goes in one ear, out the other. Just do what I say and listen to me. You'll live longer. I'm your mother. Make me, cray to the Z. Make me, cray to the Z. No texting at the table. And put away your phone. The voices in my head won't leave me alone. I can write a song about it. I can tell a joke. Meds, but I can't smoke. Make me, cray to the Z. You make me, cray to the Z. You make me, cray to the Z. You make me, cray to the Z. One potato, two potato, three potato, four. I don't wanna hear these whack voices anymore. No, you shut up. No, you shut up. No, you shut up. No, you. You're not the boss of me. I'm the boss of you. Make me. Pray to the Z. You make me. Pray to the Z. You make me. Pray to the Z. And that's a fact. I can just incorporate the voices in my act. I want to find an outlet that makes it all okay. But the voices in my head, they'll come out and play. I could pretend I'm normal. I could pretend I'm fine. But there's no fun in being sane. So come on and share the wine. Make me, pray to the Z. Going with
you
this.
Make me.
Where are we going with
cray to the Z?
You want to.